To take part. You know, our Father is so precious to us that He saw fit to take part in what we have to take part in, as much as He sent His Son, Emmanuel, to experience what you experience in the flesh. That is to say, temptation. But the thing is, He came to show us how to cut it, how to get it done right, and how to not let Satan corner you or talk you down, to stand up for what you know is truth, to stand up for Christ's teachings. You know, a person that will not stand up for His teachings and take part, that is to say, in your own mind, if you're shy or just your own family, is to stand up for knowledge of Christ. There is two separate types of knowledge. There is knowledge of the world. I got some bad news for you if you hang it all on that, because this world age, and that word is eon in the Bible, this earth age is going to end. And that wisdom in it will be worthless. But that knowledge that comes from God is forever. And you will be forever. So it makes a big difference. I wanted to start by not only that you should take part, but I want to document that Christ did not ask us to do something that He would not do Himself. It's living in the flesh is I'm not going to say it's tough. It's tougher for some than it is others, okay? But if you've got a handle on God's Word and you know where to tell Satan to go and stand up for your rights as a child of God, then certainly you're going to have a lot better life in this flesh than somebody that allows everybody to run over them. That is to say, to be condescending to any wind that blows. How worthless, you know? How worthless to, and that is to say, and believe with that wind this way and that way. That's what Jesus said concerning John. What did you go down there to hear? Somebody that changes every time the wind blows this way or that? No, I tell you, you heard John. He stuck straight to God's Word head on. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to take it with verse 14. Quite frankly, this is the reason Christ came as the Son of Man. That is to say, born Jesus. This is the purpose that He would serve. Verse 14, chapter 2, book of Hebrews. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. And that here being the purpose, that through death, that's to say the crucifixion, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil is death. He brings death. The Greek word part here is very important. And it is medeko. It means an associate. He wanted to be a part with you. Okay. And that holds even to this day, that you are a part with Him. Christianity is not a dead religion. Christianity is reality. If you intend to be blessed in your life, then you will love Him and understand that He cares enough for you that He didn't ask you to do something He didn't do Himself. The only thing is, He showed us how to get it done. He set the trail. He blazed the trail. He set the example. Do you know what? He never whimpered. He never gave way. He was never obnoxious in his teaching. He was firm and he was bold. He would call a hypocrite a hypocrite. And that's the way it is. That's the way the old ball bounces. Because why? A hypocrite needs help. Therefore, if you do not identify their problem, how are they going to help themselves? A lot of people say, well, I just cannot see offending someone. Well, why do you not love them? Do you want them to go to hell? Do you want them to find happiness as you have in the Lord? Then you need to plant a seed. You can't force it on them, nor should you ever want to. Then you're flirting with casting your pearls before swine if you go past that point. But at least you can speak to them and help them. But anyway, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, saw fit inasmuch as you had to partake of this flesh. And hey, it can be pretty painful. And don't think of hanging on the cross, it wasn't for him. Or when he walked down a hot blazing trail, the heat was just as hot for him as it was for anyone else. He was showing us how to get it done, and that he was metecho. He was an associate, a part. He didn't mind taking a part in it to help us, even today, giving us courage and strength to fulfill our purpose, our destiny, our jobs, protecting our families, helping our families, helping our community. Verse 15, to continue, he came to destroy the devil, to get him off of our back, ultimately, at the end of the millennium, okay? 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, in seeing that he has just conquered death and defeated it, you don't have to worry about it. You may have lost a loved one this past year. They're not really dead. The flesh is dead, but the loved one is not. They're with the Father. Okay? To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. Verse 16. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. He could have. He could have come down here as supernatural without being born of a virgin. You were born to woman, so was he born to woman. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. It was promised that through Abraham, what is it that Abraham means in the Hebrew tongue? Father of many nations. A blessing to many nations. Why? Because through him would come Christ. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It had to be the same. He was made like you. He was in the flesh. Blood ran through his veins. He got hungry when he was hungry. And that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He paid that price. He showed us how and then gave us a way on repentance simply to have our sins forgiven. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure, that means guarantee, that's a legal term, them that are tempted. I don't know, have any of you ever been tempted? I'm sure you have in your lifetime at one time or the other. But he came here. He participated. He took part into the flesh to show us how to walk down that trail, to show us how to face that temptation. I mean, after all, he went to extremes, perhaps that's a bad choice of words, I'll let it stand, inasmuch as when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by Satan himself in person, and to show you how to get it done. Satan quoted through Bible scriptures at him, you know. I doubt that many Christians could quote the scriptures in Matthew 4 that the devil did tempting Christ. Or I wonder how many would know how much he twisted the scripture that he quoted. He's a pretty good scripture lawyer. Satan spoke the pure truth right up until, in Matthew 4, until he twisted the whole thing out of shape. That's the way he operates. That's his method of operation. A lot of Christians would not know that. And that's why it's important that you partake of the knowledge that God has instilled in you when you study for it. You know, thank God for teachers that put forth that truth in helping people amount to something whereby they're not fair weather Christians, but they can stand. They'll do to ride with. That they can stand the test. That's what he wants. He stood the test. He showed you the way. You should be able to stand the test also. I know everybody has bad times, and that's what we have each other for. Is to, you know, as one to lean on and hold the two before. Okay? And to strengthen one. Okay? Gently, with love, of course. But I think that is so beautiful that he saw fit to show us, hey, nothing to it. That's how it's done. And not only am I doing this, do you know what he accomplished while he was doing it? He defeated death, which is to say Satan, simply because, why? Well, it's common sense. Satan was in the crowd through the Kenites saying, crucify him. They put him to death, so now he doesn't have to worry. So don't worry, buddy, wait in. Wait in that old lake, it's not too bad. In other words, he can do that with and not have to, as God, think he's doing wrong to one of his own children. For Satan is his creation. He's to dip him in the back. Okay? That's what he overcame in doing that. The crucifixion gave him the right. And then he did it at the same time to buy you if you want to repent. If you want to say, God, I am sorry. I messed up big time. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to grow in your word. And I want to be a partaker. I want to take my part. Okay. He did that first. Now, let's go, if we may, to 2 Peter, the third book past Hebrews. 2 Peter. What I want to do here is I want to show you how that God has opened your part for you. All you have to do is step up to the bat, the base rather. Step up to the base and be ready to bat. Okay? You've got to participate to be a participator. That's that simple. And so many people make errors on this, as simple as it is. And if you expect that blessing and power of knowledge to rest upon you, you got to swing that bat a little bit every once in a while. That means participate. Second Peter, chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 1 here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, you've obtained the truth. That's who he's writing it to. Those that can see and their faith is strong. 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A personal acquaintance you strike up. You become a part. You become a participant. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through what? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I mean, to be able to stick with it. To get it done. His divine power. Do you want to be a part of that? You know, you can be. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. There's that word. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust of what? Satan. Okay. To rise above it. Now listen, that is very powerful. The word partakers here is koinonos, and it means the same thing, an associate. Now I want you to think for a moment, an associate in divine power and nature, that's powerful. And many people might wonder, well, what does that mean? Don't let it put you on an ego trip. That you would be mistaken if you were to do that. But when you have a fellow person that is in trouble, that Satan is about to overpower, I guarantee you Satan will run from a person that participates or is an associate in that divine nature through knowledge to rid one of the negative part or evil spirit even that would like to interfere with a person's life. They will run from one that possesses. And hey, right there, he made a lot of promises. They're yours for the taking. But how can you be a participant if you don't participate? You couldn't. Well, I'd like to believe, but I just can't quite get there. Well, keep trying. I'm certainly not criticizing anyone that can't. Keep trying. Build your faith. Because I guarantee you, there are people, well, I really don't want to say, there are people that come for many miles to this location to experience certain things. Is it talked about? No, it isn't. And here I'm talking about it on national television. But God's divine nature is able to accomplish what his promises have promised, if you're a participant. And that is power. He's promised it. For what? Those of you that want to partake, that want to take that knowledge, that want to take a part. And that isn't to mean you're supposed to become some religious fanatic, okay? So many people want to get carried away with things of self-importance. It isn't you that can do it. It's that divine power of his that he promises that we can participate in, but it's still his power and we're only servants, okay? But it's there for you to command that that is evil and keep it out of your family. You don't have to put up with it. It isn't necessary for you to put up with it. And therefore, put a stop to it. It's that simple. Quite frankly, the temptation of Christ, that 40 days in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, he showed you how to handle Satan. There's some pretty good examples there. Those were part of the promises. Verse 5 to continue. And besides this, giving all diligence, that means care, be careful, add to your faith virtue, resolution, and to virtue, knowledge, that means intelligence, and to knowledge or intelligence, temperance, that means self-control. To be able to stick with it, to focus without changing every time the wind blows a different direction. And to temperance, patience. Women can sometimes obtain this. Sometimes I don't think we men can. Patience is a hard thing for us. And to patience, godliness. That, what is godliness? Divine nature. That's what we're talking about. Okay. It will come to you in practicing those things. You can be a participant. You can take part. You can be active. All it might be is in your own family planting one seed. Shooing something away. I'm going to use some old agriculture terms here. If something's bothering your bird, shoo it away. Okay? Well, that's the way you do your family. If you see something negative approaching your family or bothering it, shoo it away. And I don't mean to make a fool out of yourself either. Silent words spoken in the name of Christ accomplish what you wish them to. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brother kindliness, charity. Charity is love, Christian love. Add that to it. You know, I think that many people have a hard time truly understanding Christian love. Christian love is not making a doormat out of yourself for the world. Because God, all people are God's children, and God loves them. He sent Christ here not for the goody-goody two-shoes, the self-righteous people. He sent Christ here to people that are sinners, that are lost. And he sent some people along that participate, and once they convert, I'll use that word, or elect. He will send those people to help those that are lost. That is simply to say, to take part, to take a part, to help them. Why? They're God's children. And they need a lift every once in a while. Well, I'd rather not go near a sinner. Well, welcome to the world, all right? It's a sinful old world, and you don't have to go very far to find it, all right? But love runs deep. And to love God's children, I don't care what they do, still to know God loves them. He won't love what they're doing, but he expects you to make a little bit of a difference, to be able to, if nothing else, set the example of how a Christian should live. Okay, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be idle. Barren meaning you're going to participate. You're going to take part. You won't be barren in that you won't accomplish anything. What a precious time to live today when we have these powers, this divine nature of Almighty God that he shares with us. If you simply reach over and take part, and do you think that when you're reaching over to take part, if you need a healing, he's not going to give it to you? That he's not going to take care of his own? He certainly will. It's one of those promises. So what you need to do is learn those promises and claim them. And when you earn them, they're yours. And you become a part of that simplicity which we find in the knowledge of God. So there, in this second book of Peter, through the teachings of this one, you have the right to participate. The cognonos, as it is utilized here in the fourth verse, means the same as the other, only it means more so to be an associate, you know. And an associate, though it's not and should not be considered equal, it does mean a great deal more than what most people place on Christianity in taking a part. It's very important. That's what causes God's blessings to flow in families, is to take part, to know, to understand, and to love, all right? To love enough that you can practice even a little tough love occasionally. It's good for us. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy, if we may. 1 Timothy. And I want to document just a little bitty thing here. We're only going to do two verses here. These two verses caution you that you can also become a participant, if you're not careful, in other men's sins. And when you're working with sinners, and I don't want you playing one-upmanship on anyone, but by the grace of God, there go I. But it's telling you to stay on guard when you are working with sinners and see that their sin, that you do not become a participant of that. Why? Satan's sharp, okay? We'll just go down the road with me. Just walk down here two or three blocks with me, okay? And I'm speaking spiritually, of course. You know, it'll be all right. I just want you to understand me. Well, that's good, but you be wiser than the serpent always, okay? Verse 21, chapter 5, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Don't you give a goody-goody two-shoes preference over a sinner when it comes to doing God's work. That's hard for some people, all right? And you should never be partial. I mean, it's okay for you to have personal friends. That's not what it's talking about, okay? It's talking about in your attitude and your approach to people in planting seeds or something else. Don't show partiality. Verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker, and here is that word again, okay? Neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. As possible, okay? There's none of us that can stay 100%. I came here just for those two verses. It's real easy, if you're not careful, that you can be sidetracked by other people's fun, okay, whatever they want to call fun. Stay away. I mean, don't invite trouble. And I'm not telling you you should be a prude. I hope you understand that. You know, we have to go among people to work with people. You know, Jesus himself was crucified many times by certain religionists about, you chow down, you had dinner with those sinners. What's wrong with you? And of course, naturally, Jesus was trying to help those sinners. He was trying to bring them up whereby they had an opportunity, they had a chance. And is it not the sinner that needs the help of the Christian? Of course. Why? They're your brothers and sisters. They're the children of God. What good is knowledge and wisdom if you don't participate in sharing it with someone that might need it, okay, without blowing them clear out of the field, but to be helpful and always utilizing common sense. So there, in your daily life and in dealing with his promises, don't let your guard down when you're working with sinners to take part in their sins. All right, it's something that God sees fit to caution you about. Now, let's go, if we may, to 1 Corinthians And we're going to complete this lecture in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we'll just pick it up with chapter 1 here. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle, that's one sent forth, of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. What does Sosthenes mean? It means savior of his nation. So the thought of salvation and saving the people is instilled within the dear brother's name, okay? Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. It means you don't really deserve it, but if you repent and say, forgive me, you're going to get it. Okay? He paid the price. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, by his paying the price on the cross for repentance, that unmerited favor is shared equally. 5, that in everything we are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You can't help being enriched. You know, we receive thousands of communications by telephone and letter from people. We buy an awful lot of time on stations early in the morning when people are getting ready for work. And people say, how strengthening it is to have God's Word give me a send-off every day. You know, and that's what God's Word is. It strengthens. It teaches us to be gentle with other people when they deserve gentleness, and to be firm when firmness is required, with sanity. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, and that testimony is the same testimony you also put out. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Manthil. That his advent, his second advent, that you're ready for that, and look forward to it. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, right up to the end, okay, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When is the Lord's day? It's the millennium. You want to be blameless there? Follow his word. And take advantage of his grace, which is to say unmerited favor, that he instills within you. He said, you understand that is a promise from him? I will stand with you right up till the very end. You don't have to worry. And then we get a bunch of worry warts that like to worry about everything that comes along. And that shows a lack of faith, my friends. It's to doubt God's promises. Don't worry. He's in charge. He's in control. And he loves you. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That word fellowship is the word again of koinonos, which means an associate. It puts you right with him. That he's not ashamed to call you an associate. Dear one, that is true love of our Father, that He would call us an associate. It's overwhelming and touching that He can use you to plant a seed, however it may fall, whenever that time, opportune time comes by, and to use you and to call you fellow servant, you know, an associate. Fantastic. So beautiful. Let's go on another verse, 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. A one body in Christ, and Christ is the living Word. If you're going to teach His Word. Don't teach some pamphlet that some man might have written that is contrary to God's Word. There are no blessings for that, and you can get yourself in much trouble with our Father. I said if it isn't aligned with God's Word, okay? There are pamphlets that people jot and so forth that may be in conjunction. It's just my preference always to go to the Word. Why would you want some man's work when you've got God's work? And God's work is always a lot simpler to understand. Okay. Don't have divisions. Verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. This was a woman, incidentally. You know, a lot of people don't like to say women have a part in the Bible. Hey, she was quite a lady. She run her house proper, I guarantee you. That there are contentions among you. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas. That's Greek for rock or stone, or Peter in the Hebrew, okay? And I am Christ. 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to judge anybody, but that's why this organization is called The Shepherd's Chapel. Okay. So that everybody knows who we study. It's certainly not Arnold Murray. Okay. It's the shepherd, the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. I'm not going to knock people that call their ministries the Bob Dylan or the Wyatt Earp ministries. Okay. And I'm purposely not using someone's name because I don't use people's names. Okay. I guess I did, didn't I? But they were gunslingers. They were U.S. Marshals. One of them was, and the other was a gunslinger, if I had to come to think about it. Anyway, stick with your Father. Don't let man sidetrack you. God gave you a beautiful thing. It's called the brain. Use it. Think for yourself. If you don't think for yourself, some cult could take you in. All you need is God's Word and that beautiful gray matter of yours to sit down and understand, with utilizing the tools from the manuscripts, that you can take part in that it's solely God's Word, not some man's thoughts. Man's thoughts, I'm sorry, they'll sometimes, as best as they try, They're going to have some nicks in there. So you must learn to think for yourself. Example, when Judgment Day comes around, who do you think is going to be standing between you and Almighty God? Nobody. Not some preacher. Because God wrote you the letter. And you're the captain of your ship. You make your own decisions. And you're going to be judged by your decisions. So make sure that you're the one that makes them, you know. I'd hate to trip up and fall because of some nutcase or something like that, you know, that I listen to. I'd much rather listen to God's word straight from his word, breaking it back to the original and times to, because it beautifies the word itself to catch the full meaning that our Father spoke through the Son and the apostles and the disciples, leading us and directing us to show us the way. And what more could we ask for? God himself in the beginning said, let us make man in our image. He spoke those words to the Elohim, which is plural, meaning God and his children, or God and his angels, however you prefer it. And did God exclude himself? No, he did not. He said, let us make man in our image, including himself. That's why Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, to show us that way. Turn, if you would, onto the 10th chapter in this great book. And this will be our last scripture that we're going to call forth. Many people wonder and think, and we pick up on that from that last scripture, what church should I belong to? Which way should I go? How can I tell? And of course, my answer is stock, is go to a Bible-teaching church, and you have to make your own mind up. You know, and you know why you must say that? Because God may have a purpose for sending some person to a certain church. God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we don't, okay? But the main thing is to tell them to go to a church that teaches God's word and listen to it. You know why? There is only one church. There are many people that have different factions, they feel, of it. But there is only one body, there's only one Christ, and there's only one church, and that's his. And whomsoever will from, I don't care, you can name off every name down the list, and there's good ones, and there's some not so good, and there's bad ones in every one of them. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to judge them. But it's what you have in your heart for Almighty God. Knowing there is only one body, one church. How do we nail that down? Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 13. Maybe will assist us. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you're not a unique person. Every temptation you've had, somebody else has had it too. How did they handle it? How did you handle it? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That is a scripture that you hear me quote quite often, because it is a powerful scripture. So many people, when you have a bad time, say, I just see them. No. People have been there, and they've handled it. How are you going to do it? I mean, stand up there and take part. Because you have a promise there. And if you have any faith, you know he's going to show you a way out of it successfully for the betterment. You can believe that. So So don't get your little worry cart motor started. Okay, always turn that thing off. Worry is not going to help you. It's the biggest waste of time and troublemaker in the world. It will not add 1 minute to your lifetime just to worry about something. Use common sense and get it done. God will always show you a way out. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Anything that would come between you and God. 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. You listen to it closely and you let it settle down into your mind. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the answer is, of course it is. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes, of course it is. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers, netekio. There is that word, of that one bread. We are participants. We take part in it. We are a part of it. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And of course the answer is yes. And I'm not going to go into what is offered to an idol. If somebody were to take a big ribeye steak and he was of another region and said, I dedicate this steak to the statue of blah blah. I know that blah blah is nothing. It's a piece of stone. It's a rock, okay? And if there's not a weak Christian around, I'm going to eat that steak, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. Because the statue to me is just a chunk of rock and doesn't amount to a hill of beans. An idol is only something that you worship, okay? But now if there were a weak Christian standing by, I would have to push that beautiful ribeye steak back and say, no, thank you, I better not, you know, because of pulling a weak person that doesn't realize, hey, an idol is nothing. They take God's creation and whittle an idol, okay, but we worship God. So be a partaker because we are one body. And naturally, you know what happens through that. His body, which is the bread, took the stripes, and you get the healing. Okay. Think about that. He took a beating, and you get the healing. And his blood was spilled, and it washes away your sins and makes you pure. That is to say, in his book of life. Now, his book of life may not amount to much to you. It does to me. Because that's what you're judged by. And all you have to do, and why it's unmerited, is to say, Father, I really messed up. And he just erases everything there by your name and says, I love this person. They're forgiven. And it's gone. So he does those things for us. And I just think it's fantastic that we have the opportunity to take part. Fantastic. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for this beautiful word. May it be a blessing to all the years in which it falls upon. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the mark of the beast.
Don't jump into anything. If someone gives you a little attention or something, don't. Just take your time, pray about it, and do what you want to do. It's your ship, you sail it. But you're never alone. That I want to really make clear. You're never alone. God promised He would always be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13. And I know it's a tough old goal. Been there myself, all right? You just move careful. God will take care of you, okay? All of the scripture. Clarence from Georgia. I have seen dreams and have visions. I have the number 8 marked on my body. Is this good or bad? Why do I have this mark? Well, is it a birthmark? Or, you know, you're not giving me much information. 8 usually means new beginnings. Maybe you're going to have a new beginning. You want to be very careful of dreams and visions. Okay. Sometimes if you sleep in a hot room, you see the body has senses. And the sensor that is to temperature, telling whether you're hot or cold, it may even send a little note up to your brain giving you a vision of fire. Okay. Meaning, but it simply means you're too hot. Okay, you might have eaten a bunch of sour pickles before you went to bed, and Lord only knows what you'll dream about then, because your tummy's upset. So there's a lot of things involved. Justin from California, do all non-believers go to hell when they die? Now, you're asking me to be a judge, okay? As a student of God's Word, I automatically say no. They may go to the opposite side of paradise, which we'll learn about in the 16th chapter of this great book of Luke. But there's still the millennium we have to deal with. And many people will participate in the second resurrection, as it is mentioned. See, there's two different resurrections. There's a first and a second. The first takes place at the beginning of the millennium, and the second resurrection takes place at the end of the millennium. So that naturally means there's going to be people saved in the millennium age. So it's none of our business to judge people. My answer to you would be, non-believers, when they wake up in the millennium and find out what's before them, they might get smart, because they're going to see God standing right before them, but they're not going to be allowed to go to Him. But they're going to hear, and they're going to be taught. And what an interesting time it will be. We serve a God of love. Does that mean all people will be saved? No, a lot of them are going to hell. But at least they're going to know for sure whether there's a God or not, as they're going to see. Bob from California. You were teaching about speaking in tongues. You spake about a translator, then a non-understandable tongue to be understood by everyone. Could you please clarify this? Simplify. I was a Marine myself. God bless. Simplify. Well, Bob, first of all, let's take the Pentecostal tongue, Acts chapter 2. There was nothing unknown about it, and it did not need an interpreter. And in the Greek, it's called the cloven tongue. I mean, it goes out in many directions, or basically many languages. But you only hear the one in which you were born in. And it will be in the dialect of the very county you were born. Meaning, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through that person. Because man can't copy that or fake it. It's the real Holy Spirit. Otherwise, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's talking about when we take the word forth, if you go where people don't speak English, take an interpreter that can interpret your English into their language so they'll know what you're saying. David from California, do you have any tapes on the subjects of tongues and the rapture? That is strange that those two run side by side. Yes, I do. The rapture has two tapes and tongues has one tape, okay? And it'll teach you from God's Word what is said on those subjects. Inez from Oklahoma. My pastor said the Lord does not hear prayers from sinners. This has really confused me. Would you please comment on this for me? Well, Inez, let me ask you, what if it's, we're all sinners when we fall short, and we have to repent? Who are you going to repent to if it isn't God? And he's got to hear you because he's got to forgive you. Now, I don't want to call your pastor, maybe you misunderstood him, but if this is true, he's all wet, okay? God loves his children. He even knows what they're thinking. And if someone is reaching out to the Father, I guarantee you that he has time for them. It seems that I've had this, I hope no denomination has started teaching that, because I've heard that from two or three different parts of the country. And sometimes you get these little quarterlies, and they all teach the same thing anyway, and you begin to get... I won't go any further with that. Hey, God loves his children, and he's going to answer them. And I would hate to think that the only time he answered somebody, if they were a goody-goody two-shoes that didn't need the doctor, okay? All right, hey, I love you because you enjoy our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day, beloved. It gets his attention for you to study his Word, to try to do better in your life, to better yourself and your family, that he really loves you for that. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But there's one thing that's most important.
Within these two books, you find the hidden secret.